Thank you, sir. It's been a special honor for me to be here these weeks, pitch hit for Brother Johnson. I'm glad he's back. Matter of fact, I'm getting a little bit weary of I-85 between here and Raleigh. So for many reasons, I'm glad that you're bright, my brother. I do appreciate you entrusting me with your classes for this period of time. And I'm glad also that you take care of the testing so they'll love me. Has been a tremendous honor to be here in fellowship with the students. Got to know some of you that I did not know, and that's been a real blessing to get to sit across the table from you and fellowship with you from time to time if we had an opportunity. You know, some years ago, not too many years ago, in a missions conference somewhere, I can't recall where, Saturday night open forum where people were given an opportunity to ask questions. Someone asked me this question, Brother Halsey, what percentage of your personal support as a missionary with BIMI comes from faith promised dollars? I thought about that. Didn't take long to answer. I answered 100%. As of all of our support, it all comes from churches who give to missions through grace giving, or what commonly known as faith promise. I started asking missionaries that same question in conference. How about you? How about you? How about you? Almost in every case, 100%, 95%, 90%. Some of the missionaries have been around a long, long time, would have perhaps a different way of looking at it, but missionaries during my ministry period have been supported primarily from faith promised dollars. Then now and then some learned dumbo tells us that faith promise is not biblical. My question is, what are they trying to accomplish? With BIMI, we have somewhere under 1,000 missionaries. Well, how many would we have today without grace giving? Maybe 100. Maybe less. A few more. The same could be said for every other fundamental Baptist missions agency in the country today. They would tell you that the majority of the missions support to the missionaries comes from these kinds of dollars. If faith promise is not a part of the equation, the airlines would be busy for years bringing missionaries home from the field. So again, what are they trying to accomplish? All the missionaries on the field that are serving today, they would not be there without it. And by the way, in case you didn't know it, it is biblical. And I can prove that. Two things I've noticed, well, many things I've noticed about Ambassador over the years I've been associated with you, dear people. But two things I've always noticed. All the men are good preachers. And all the girls have beautiful voices to sing. I've noticed even some of you men who couldn't sing a note prior to you coming here leave here being able to sing. So I'm going to ask Brother Scoville, while I'm here, I'll be here just this week, to teach me how to sing. Would that be a possibility, my brother? Amen. I'm afraid you'd be wasting your time. Open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Psalms, 139. Psalm 139. And we'll begin with verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my mouth, in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. I've asked God time and time again, Lord, let your hand be on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray together. Father, please use this preacher today to speak to the hearts of these precious people. May all of us, Lord, be challenged and blessed and helped from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, for his sake, we pray. Amen. This is one of God's beautiful, wonderful psalms. And by the way, 150 of them. Sometimes I say this is one of my favorite ones, but I have 150 favorite psalms. You know, I don't know whether you're like me or not, but when those times come, and they do come, and I just feel like I need something from God, I usually turn first to the book of Psalms. And I usually find exactly what my heart needs for that occasion. This is a tremendous book. In Psalm 139, there are four of God's attributes. First, his omniscience. God knows everything. Verses 7 through verse 12, God's omnipresence. God is everywhere. Verses 13 through 18, God's omnipotence. He can do anything. And then God's righteousness. God is holy. Then he closes this psalm with a prayer for heart searching. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. For some time now, I head off my prayer time, my devotional time, by praying this prayer. Ask God to search me. Lord, I want to pray this prayer and I want to be heard. So search me. If anything here needs to be dealt with, God, I want to get it out of the way now so that when I really get down to the business of praying, I can be heard. So search me, Lord. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I want to notice three things about this prayer this morning. First, it's probing nature. Then secondly, the motivations for this prayer. And then third, the personal nature of this prayer. First, it's probing nature. Look at the words, search me. Search me. Strong words. I remember growing up on a farm. My mother practiced what all the ladies at that time used to practice, spring cleaning. Now, my wife cleans all the time. But back then, there was a special time of the year when you really got down to the business of cleaning. I can recall taking rugs off the floor, hanging them over the clothesline. You don't even know what a clothesline is. And beat it and beat it and beat it, get all the dust out of it. And we had those old metal springs in those days that you put your mattress on. And if you turn over in the bed, it wake everybody in the house up. Just squeak and squawk. Take those springs out in the backyard and wash them off, clean them off. Turn the chest of chairs upside down, remove all the webs and all the dust, and just do everything we could to find some dirt in the house, even on top of the door jamb. Get all that dust. Spring cleaning. That's kind of the word we're talking about here. Search me, O God. Look, Lord, for all the dirt that's anywhere found in my life. Penetrate me. Examine me intimately in three areas. First, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. Why was it necessary for David to pray such a thing? Lord, search my heart. Because David knew what all of us ought to know. We really don't even know our own heart. I've heard people say flippantly sometimes, just trust your heart. That's the dumbest thing you can do. I don't trust my heart. Jeremiah said, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But we need somebody to search it, and that's God. Because, you see, the heart is central to the condition of the man. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Then in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to verse 23, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, the evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Then he adds, these things come from within and defile the man. You know, I love tomatoes, particularly not tomatoes this time of the year. I want tomatoes that you go out to the garden to get. And the best place to eat a good, ripe, red tomato is in the garden. Take out a box of salt with you. Pull that perfect tomato and just wipe it off really good and bite into it. Let it squirt everywhere it wishes. That's the best place to eat a tomato. Some years ago, my son raised tomatoes. He doesn't like them, but he knows I do, and he brought me over a bowl of tomatoes. I looked through that bowl, and I found the most beautiful tomato in that bowl. And since I wasn't in the garden, but in the house instead, I knew my wife wouldn't want me to really treat it the way I would treat it out in the garden, squirt it over the kitchen. So I took a knife, and I cut that tomato half in two. I couldn't wait to bite it. But guess what I found when I cut in that tomato? It didn't have any evidence of marring of any kind on the outside. But when I cut into that tomato, I found in the center a dark blot of something, I don't know what. What did I do with that tomato? I threw it in the garbage bin. You know, there's some of us, we look so good on the outside. I mean, we have a nice suit on, nice shine shoes, come to church on Sunday with your Bible on your arm, great big smile on your face, your wife and kids in tow. Everybody thinks he is a model or she is a model Christian. But on the inside, there's something that you can't see, others cannot see, but God sees it. And what God sees makes us unfit for spiritual service. Just as that tomato was unfit for human consumption, so many of us are not available to serve God. What does God find this morning when he searches our heart? Does he find a lustful heart? Does he find a proud heart? Does he find a selfish heart? Does he find a jealous heart, a bitter heart, a doubtful heart? What does God find this morning when he searches our heart? May I say to you this morning, before we begin any day, we ought to make sure that we begin it by asking God to search our heart and reveal to us what needs to be removed from our being. But let's probe deeper. Not just search my heart, O God, but also search my thoughts. Try me and know my thoughts. Try, that is, investigate me. Now, David knew this. He knew that God rather already knew his thoughts. Now, he said, God, search my thoughts, but he knew that God already knew what was there. In verses 1 and 2, Well, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Now, though he asked God to search his thoughts, he knew that God already knew them. But he wanted God to reveal to him those thoughts. Because he knew, as I know and as you ought to know, you can be deceived about the purity of your thoughts. You may think your thoughts are great, but God sees something that you miss. He finds those impurities. So, Lord, though you already know, please show me. Show me so that I can admit, confess, get rid of those thoughts. You see, friends, you can really believe that you're serving for God's glory when, in fact, you may be serving for applause. You may want to hear people do this to you. You may think you're doing it for God's glory, but in fact, you may not be. You may even think you're coming to church because you want to worship God. But it really may be just a habit. I'm convinced, people, that a lot of people in churches today really go to church for that reason. Just kind of a religious habit. And we may think we're meek, but instead, you may be proud. You may think you're righteously angry, but in fact, you may be just bitter and arrogant. You may think you're a problem solver, but in fact, you may be a causer of the problems. You see, the thought life is a barometer of what we really are. Because, see, we are what we think about. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What do you think about? So God searched my heart and revealed to me what I need to get out of that place. Then, Lord, search my thoughts. Reveal to me, O God, the impurities in my thought life. Let's probe deeper. Not just my heart, not just my thoughts, but also, Lord, search my ways and see if there be any wicked way in me. You see, friends, David already knew that God was acquainted with all of his ways. Look at verse 3 and 4. He says as much. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it all together. David wanted to know the truth about his way. Some say, that's just the way I am, as if that justifies. I heard a young man say very recently about his father. And his father was a preacher. At least he has that title. He's a preacher. But this young man, growing up in that home, his father was very arrogant, volatile, anything but spiritual. And his son was having a difficulty accepting it, and he said, why can't you just accept the way I am? I'm volatile. That's the way God made me. Why can't you just accept it? Does that justify it? No, it does not. So, it's just my nature to be sharp in my speech. It's just the way that I am. It's just my nature to be a worrier because God made me that way. That's just the way that I am. Gossip is excused as just concern. What about your ways this morning? Lord, search my heart. Search my thoughts. And oh God, search my ways. The probing nature of this prayer. But then consider with me the motivations for it. What led David? What ought to lead us to pray such a prayer on a regular basis? First, David wanted some assurance. He wanted to know that he was right with God. He knew that he lived among wicked people and wanted to know that he was not affected by it. He wanted some assurance. You know, I get physical examinations. And seem like the older I get, the more my doctor wants me to come see him. I don't know if because he's concerned for me or because he needs more money. But I go. I want some assurance. Matter of fact, I was in there just a few days ago. But I don't you love Brother Charles, don't you love hearing a doctor say, you're in good shape. Keep on doing what you're doing. Brother Johnson, don't you like hearing that? You're doing great. Those words from your doctor about how quickly you've improved. That was good news, wasn't it? So I go to my doctor because I want to hear those words. It's a blessing also to get that whisper from the Holy Spirit. You're okay. I just looked at your heart. I just took a good look at your thoughts. I took a good look at your ways. And really, you're doing okay. Well done. Don't you want to hear those words? David prayed that prayer because he just wanted to know. I pray that prayer again every morning. Lord, as far as I know, my heart's okay. As far as I know, my thoughts are okay. As far as I know, my ways are okay. Well, Lord, I want to know from your vantage point. I don't know what you say about my heart, my thoughts, and my ways. So we go to God on a regular basis and ask God to do the search on us. We want some assurance. But sometimes I go to see my doctor because I'm having some symptoms. Doc, I got this pain here. Unusual. I have this unusual feeling. Haven't had it before. And I just wanted to talk to you to see something wrong with me. So sometimes we go to our doctor because we're having some symptoms that we don't like. My friend, sometimes we need to go to God. We have some symptoms that are not right. You see, when you find you're just not fruitful in your service, you're not really getting your prayers answered anymore. Good time to check with Dr. Jesus. You're not really out there trying to get folks saved anymore. Need to go have a talk with Dr. Jesus. That joy that you used to have. I mean, you had that spiritual spring in your step. You just had the joy of the Lord all over you, and you were just thrilled to serve the Lord Jesus, and you come to classes and come to chapel, and you just have that excited to be saved look and feel about you. All of a sudden, it's a real bore to pick up your Bible and read except to pass the test. And if you don't have time to pray today, it doesn't really bother you anymore. It's time to talk to spiritual Jesus. That coldness that comes over you, that unspiritual attitude, all of a sudden, you become critical in your nature. People begin to ask, what's wrong with so-and-so? They just seem so different. Avoiding those devotions, no burden for the unsaved. No answers to your prayer. It's time to talk to Jesus. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will hear me. And though the Lord's hand is not short and he cannot save, but your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So friends, if you're having those symptoms today, it's a good time for you to turn your face toward heaven and say, Lord, search. Now, you ought to know, Lord, everything is to know about my heart. You know everything there is to know about my thoughts. You know everything there is to know about my ways. But, oh, Lord, show me because I want to be right with you. With all my soul, I want to be right with God. Do you? I love that old hymn, nothing between my soul and my Savior. Anything between you and your soul and your Savior. So the probing nature of this prayer, and then the motivations for it. Well, let's notice, please, the personal nature of this prayer. Look at his personal pronouns in those two verses. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Personal nature. Notice what David does not pray. He doesn't say, Lord, search Bathsheba. I could be a much better king and husband, one for her. She's a problem. Search Bathsheba, O Lord. Some of you men that are married, and girls that are married, you probably have said from time to time in your prayers, search my wife. She's a problem. I could be a better preacher. I could be a better student if it just wasn't for my wife. Lord, search her and get her right. He doesn't pray that. Neither does he say, Lord, search Absalom. That son of mine, he's such a burden. He doesn't pray that. Nor does he say, Lord, search Joab. I used to trust him, don't trust him anymore. He has been a good general, but anymore I'm just not so sure. He doesn't pray that. We should ask God to search who? Us. Not your mate. Not your children. Not the preacher. You say it's his fault. I tell you who's really the problem. It's my professor. Because I know he's got in for me. He wants me to fail. I'm sure of it. Search him, Lord. Make him right. Compare the attitude of the disciples at the Last Supper. Matthew 26. And they, as they did, he said, verily, I say to you that one of you shall betray me. They were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say, Lord, is it Thomas? Is it Peter? James? Certainly not John. No, Lord, is it I? Because those disciples realized that it really could be them. Individually. So, Lord, reveal to me. Many of us will not pray that prayer because we frankly are just unwilling to face our condition. You see, it's easier to blame others than it is ourselves. You know, in my lifetime, there have been some times when I prayed the prayer, and out of nowhere, God's thumb would come and put it right on it. And I say, oh no, couldn't be that. No way. Go back out again. And again, that same thumb comes, puts it right on that same spot. See, when we pray that prayer, count on it, God put his finger on our problem. And God will continue to point to that problem until we deal with it. So, Lord, search me, my heart, my ways, my thoughts, because I want to know that I'm right with you. And then Lord, after you get me where I ought to be, then do this for me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, help me to get right, but then, Lord, keep me right. Jeremiah 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not a man that walketh to direct his steps. Then Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And Lord, that's what I want. Lord, I know I'll stumble, but oh God, pick me up. Because Lord, I want to know that I'm in the very center of your will for my life. And if we pray this prayer, God puts his finger on it. Admit it. Admit it. Don't avoid it. Lord, you are right. Let me ask you this morning, as we have looked at this passage together, did God reveal something to you? What was it? What did God reveal to you this morning? Was it a lack of faithfulness in your stewardship, church attendance? Was it a lack of being faithful as a witness? Have you been diligent or not diligent in your Bible study and prayer? Did God reveal that to you this morning? Did God reveal to you that there's some problems of lust, problems of pride, bitterness? What did God reveal? Don't leave this place this morning without praying that prayer. And listen to see what God says. before you leave this place this morning. He that covereth the sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsakes them shall have mercy. Let's bow together in prayer, and please stand to your feet. Father, thank you for the word, the probing of the word. And I pray, oh God, today that you take this portion of your word and use it to stir, to challenge the hearts of this preacher and all of us in this building. With the heads bowed this morning and eyes closed, if God is in some way speaking to your heart, and as invitation music is being played, if you want to come and have a meeting with the Lord, he's waiting for you. Lord, search my heart, my thoughts, and my ways. Help me, God, to get those things dealt with today. Reveal it to me, Lord. I know you ought to know, but I want you to tell me so I will know. And then, Lord,